Thank you, Mr. Hapker, for your presentation. I'm so very glad for stay here. I know that you have a new place. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's more light, more space. Congratulate. It's a beautiful place. Stay here for second time with you. And I share with you this message because Passover is coming. And we need to prepare for this time. I know probably you took the Passover for many years, but today I want to share with you this message about the preparation for take Passover. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the chapter 11 talk about the Passover. But I need to focus specifically in verse 26. I read in the New King James Version. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The last verse, 30, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." What must we do to take the Passover correctly? Let a man examine himself. More instructions about that in the next chapter, in the next book, letter, the Apostle Paul. In Second Corinthians, next letter, Second Corinthians, chapter 30, verse 5, says the apostle, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you know now yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." Well, Mr. Hafker talked about that. What is the examination of our heart? The Apostle Paul advises and instructs us to conduct and examine an exam before taking the Passover. But to what type of exam is he referring? Is this a test like an school? We sit down and answer some question that show whether we are in the faith or not. In this case, what are the right questions? Well, the apostle purposely only says that at the end of the exam, we must find ourselves in the faith. As a teacher, I'm always evaluating my students, selecting some question that allow me to determine what is in their minds on the subject, what they have learned. In the same manner, I would like to share with you a tip on how to start a proper examination. Not a question. It's a tip. It is only a suggestion, not a full examination. But it is a key for us to prepare ourselves to take the Passover each year properly. Our words are usually a good indicator that we are effectively living in the faith. In respect to this matter, Christ relates that out of the abundance of the heart, what says, the mouth speaks. This is in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. You can put in your notes. Because prior to expressing ourselves, our thoughts pass through the brain and eventually leave our lives, or our lips. We express ourselves with our friends, brethren, and co-workers. What kind of conversation are we having? Are our words seasoned with salt? Let's go for Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Very interesting. Season result. Are they always encouraging, giving hope in a world that is becoming more negative? How much positive impact does one person have who has positive words? A positive mind looking forward, looking to the kingdom of God and seeking his righteousness. The Bible records that, well, we have here a recording video, but God gives us the order to write what we speak to each other. Look at this situation in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi, so the end in the Old Testament, final book. Okay, says verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Notice and listened. Lord listened and heard them. When God listened, well, we have respect. Our expression is better. God says, well, gave the order to write what we speak to each other. Continuing. So a book or remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Next verse, 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord, of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Next verse, 18. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Well, brethren, if you ask me about that, I don't know. But God says, write a book about our conversation. It even tells us that by our words, we will be condemned or justified. You can put in your notes Matthew 12, verse 37. This shows that our conversation give account for all that we think, all that we feel, and all that we experience. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. It's necessary to read and understand this treasure. When we made a covenant with God at baptism, we renewed this commandment. We shall always be remembering it, thinking about it, meditating on it. It has an effect on what we speak and the words we use. But the examen is not to discredit us. It is all about finding out where we are growing and where we are failing, and to propose to us how to better ourselves in the spiritual field. That is our constant struggle. Jesus Christ died so that we are allowed to receive forgiveness and to move towards this beautiful path to eternal life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. We can read more about that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Next verse. But now you yourselves are to put of all this, note, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. All these involve war. Note, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all those situations involve expressions. And God says, put off all this. If the result of our exam is positive, we continue to grow in it unto perfection. Look at what it says in James chapter 3, verse 2. When the exam is good, the good students have a good notes, good qualification. Okay, James chapter 3, verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And the people have a good qualification to continue growing every year, every time you make evaluation. He who gives attention to this advice goes on the way to perfection. If our result is negative, there is a good news. Why? Well, when you are in school, when you have a negative result, it's a bad situation. But in this case, it's a good news because we made an evaluation and have the intention to change our thoughts and words. Jesus Christ gave his life so that we can be forgiven of any faults that we may have committed. We can set some goals to help us improve our conversation and thoughts. And we have the both case, good result, negative result. And in both case, we can choose what is the better way. Decide growing. In negative case, move for the good. For the better. If we did not make an exam, we can start right now and meditate. Meditate on this by proposing to improve our relationship with God and our fellow men, making good use of our words. Proposing to improve our vocabulary, to be positive in what we say and do, to have our mind be positive and our world to be seasoned with salt. We read that this can only be done by those whom God has shown his great purpose and who take the good treasure of the right word. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I want to read because it's like a resume, like a summary. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I don't have any in my notes here. Says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Look at, brethren, we have a fantastic treasure. It's the treasure in the Holy Bible. The treasure is a kingdom of God. We can take this good treasure and talk about that. Affect every situation in our life. The Apostle Paul expressed this in Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Titus, my last scripture. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. It's a sink very deeper. To the pure, all sins are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. You know, brethren, when we have this treasure and involve every situation in our life, in our lives, all is pure. You know, all is pure. Next verse. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified. Notice here, disqualified for every good work. They note those words affect our thoughts and attitudes. It's involved everything in our life. Well, we must change our thinking and attitude toward others without falling into hypocrisy and flattery. No. Remember, we must change our attitude so that it emerges from within. This is the meaning of unleavened bread. Put out the leavening, which is hypocrisy. Our feelings and expression shall be sincere with God and our fellow men. Brethren, we need to evaluate our words in our conversation, that whatever we do and whatever we say, that our words are for edification, that the word recorded in the book of God are our best testimony that Christ is in us.